And I just broke down and got on my knees and sobbed and asked for God for help, for guidance, for answers, for direction, for love, for his hand. And it was when I was at my worst, in the darkest time, that his light really came shining in.
That's the voice of Julie Chen Moonves, the longtime host of Big Brother and former co-host of The Talk. She's talking and getting personal in her new audio memoir. It's called But First, God.
Love the audiobook. So many things we could talk about. But I'd like to go back because hearing it, I understood more sort of the behind the scenes of things that were going on. And you're strong person because I'm seeing, I went back and looked at your saying goodbye on The Talk and then knowing that you were betrayed, but you gave love and expressed something beautiful about every single, what made you do that?
Well, first of all, we are all flawed, right? And I did have 8 years of wonderful memories with everyone, which is why the cut felt so deep. You know, it's like one thing if you expect it from someone that you don't consider a friend, but it's a different thing when you do consider someone a friend and then you feel like you're stabbed in the back. So I chose to remember the great times because there were so many of them and I still look back on them fondly. And in that moment in time, I wanted the strength of the show, which was built on like this fun sisterhood of women, the show became my priority. Like we worked so hard as a group to get it to where it was and we wanted that to continue. I wanted that to continue and so did the then head of CBS Daytime. You know, she was like, you're sacrificing your baby, the show is the baby. You know, you leaving is the sacrifice.
And this is before you even begin this journey on a relationship with God.
Right. And so, which tells me now, looking back, like we are all made in his image. So God must have been pushing me, like, take the high road, right?
Yes,
always.
Yes.
And I did, you know. So he was already moving in my life without me even knowing it then or acknowledging it then.
Take me back to the day you're dropping your son off at school and you decide I'm going to go searching for a church.
It was Holy Spirit moving. It was that morning that I woke up to an email from my favorite aunt, who is a born-again Christian. She and my uncle, he's a cancer survivor and a 9/11 survivor.
Wow.
He was in the North Tower when it got hit. She emailed me that her friend from her church in New Jersey had been praying for me and my family and was touched by Holy Spirit to say, to call my aunt and say, you gotta tell your niece Julie about the gospel. You gotta tell her about Jesus. And my aunt said, listen, you know I've never been pushy with my faith in our very large family. She said, but I wish you to know the peace of Jesus, which transcends all understanding. And here's the message from my friend Angela, who is a prayer warrior. And I thought, who is this woman who has never met me, doesn't know me, who felt so compelled to call my aunt to pray for me and tell me about Jesus? Okay. And I had been toying with the idea for months about going to church. And I just never got up and did it. And I thought, okay, today is the day. It's a Thursday morning and it's before 9 a.m. And I dropped off my son at church, and a church that I had driven past millions of times, very close to my house. I just wandered in there and the door was unlocked. And I had the whole church to myself. And it was one of these dark, rainy mornings in Southern California in the fall, in the winter. And I just broke down and got on my knees and sobbed and asked for God for help, for guidance, for answers, for direction, for love, for his hand. And it was when I was at my worst, in the darkest time, that his light really came shining in. So, but I had to make that first step, because he's like, well, I've been knocking on the door for 48 years and you haven't answered. And now that you need me, now you're calling. It's like, yes.
To be on that journey at 48, I'm pretty much lifelong, grew up in church. But then hearing you describe that journey at 48, it just seems so much more intentional, intense. Where did that come from? Was it the journalism training? What was it that made you dive so hard?
I think it was the journalism training. It was being a mature adult who always felt like I was the one calling the shots in my life. And because I had spent my whole career as a journalist, I thought, okay, I'm now going to study the Bible. I'm going to study God's word and learn it. And I was so foolish. I was so naive. I thought, oh, like, I'm going to delve into it for a year and I'll be good. And it's been 5 years now, 5.5 years. And I'm like, oh, I haven't even scratched the surface. You know, until I take my last breath, I will be learning more and more of the character of God and who he is and his story. And even when I take my last breath, if I live to 103, like my grandmother did, it's still going to be so much more when I meet him.
Absolutely. Part of the beauty of your story, at least in studying the Bible at the start, is being able to do that with your mom.
Oh, that was another blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. So in early 2020, my father unexpectedly died. Mm-hmm. He basically hit his head, internal bleeding. He had suffered a ruptured appendix. While he was home alone, my mom was visiting me an hour and a half away. So 24 hours later, he passed away. And my mom, having never lived alone before, came to live with me as a trial period, and then COVID locked down the world. So like a 2-week trial period turned into 6 months. So during that time, we leaned on each other and we leaned on God's word, because then church came to us. No one could leave the house. Mm-hmm. Every church was doing their own version of, you know, online services.
Yeah.
And the biggest one we connected on was a live Zoom church service from an old friend of mine who was one of my first cameramen in Dayton, Ohio,
yes,
covering local news, mm-hmm, who then became a pastor. He pastors a church in Boston. Mm. He and his wife pastor this church together. She was our 6 o'clock producer in Dayton.
Wow.
You know, God knew when we were in that newsroom in our 20s and back in the 90s that more than, you know, 2-3 decades later, we would be reunited. And it was so lovely to lean on each other during grieving. You know, we were all looking for our own answers in empty spots in our lives where we were grieving, to ask God to like make us whole again. And doing that together was a beautiful journey.
I've always admired you as a journalist and someone on camera, and you seem to never be flustered, faulty, you know.
Chen Bot, that's what they call me, Chen Bot.
being a news anchor myself, always admired. But what I've enjoyed about this is that the perfect Julie that we see, you share some flaws, and one that really moved me, like, wow, she's got family struggles too, is the issue where you have to break the news to your son that the woman in the picture all those years he's seen is deeper than he knew.
Is a sister I never told him about. I had been lying to my son for, I mean, he must have been 9 or 10 when I finally told him that you actually have two aunties. You've only met one, and through the years, he has seen another woman in a picture with me and his auntie that he's known about, and he has asked, who's that? And I'd say, a relative, you know, because this one sister, we have been like oil and water our whole life, and once I started to get to know God, mm-hmm. I started looking at her through a different lens, through, you know, my Jesus lenses, mm-hmm. as I like to say.
Yes.
And, you know, for example, when I say we're oil and water, you know, she's an atheist, you know, and mm-hmm. she doesn't want to hear me preach the gospel. But I thought, okay, if necessary, use words.
Yes.
You know, so I have to open my heart back up to her where it has been hardened. And I had to tell my son about her because we were going to a very large family reunion where she was going to be present. So, you know, it's kind of like we always expect the worst when someone says, I have some bad news to break to you. And mm-hmm. that's how it was presented to my son. So he was like, you know, being 9 or 10, the first thing is am I in trouble? And I said, no, but should you be? And then the next thing is, okay, wait, are you and Dad getting divorced? And we started laughing. We said, no. Mm-hmm. Then I could tell him anything and it was going to be fine. And it didn't faze him. You know, I worked it up so much in my head what that conversation was going to be like, as did he. And we all walked away, okay.
Has this journey given your husband a different wife and your son a different mom?
Oh, absolutely. I think I am way more calm, peace-loving, non-judgmental. The fact that I will pray and ask them to pray with me before a family meeting, whether it's about a report card or anything that's like a tough parenting issue, for them to hear my intentions, you know, where they see, where my son sees, okay, mom's not about to lecture me just to like make me feel bad. Like mm-hmm. she wants me to grow from this and she's actually rooting for me. It just sets the tone. You know, it helps us all stay calm and speak clearly. And, you know, my marriage has always been very peaceful because like I didn't get married until I was 34. So it wasn't, you know, like I knew what I was a mature human being, working person. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think in any event, I've always been an easygoing person in my marriage. My husband has been supportive of every single thing that I've ever been passionate about, you know, big and small. Mm-hmm. So, but I think it's nice that at night before going to sleep, we will often pray together. And you'll feel the difference right then and there. Mm-hmm. You know, both our shoulders from the hectic day just come down together and bring us, this solidifies us mm-hmm. as, you know, one unit.
People may be surprised, but I appreciated this, as this is even a change the way you approach interviews for Big Brother.
Oh yeah, because when I would interview these house guests, of course when I was watching at home, if they were the villain, I would be judging them too. I would have to not show that, but maybe I would want to ask these, you know, really tough questions and put them on the spot that way as a journalist. Like, who did I think I was? You know, like Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes? It's like Big Brother, it's a fun little show, like relax, Julie. And now it's like, okay, who am I to judge? Give them a chance to redeem themselves, because it's all about redemption.
Yeah.
Give them the platform to explain themselves or see things the way we did so they can grow from it. It's not like a, ha ha, gotcha. So yeah, I look at everyone through a loving lens, mm-hmm. no matter what. Let me see them the way Jesus sees them. Please, Lord, I pray that. And know that there's always a treasure there. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have good sides and bad sides mm-hmm. that exist within us, in our heart.
Yeah, there's some beautiful practical ways. I mean, I'm hearing you when your son doesn't want to pray for a friend that's getting on his nerves, and to help him explore, so why has your friend insulted your mom? And want to give too much away, but that's a beautiful to see it play out like that.
Yeah, you have to try and put yourself in that person's shoes. Like, if that person who you think is a friend is insulting your mom, me, mm-hmm. examine what is the relationship going on at home in that person's shoes. Mm. Is there some trouble in the house? And that particular child, his parents are going through a divorce, mm-hmm. you know? So you have to just have empathy and know that it's not really about you. And pray for that person. to have peace.
Nice.
They won't act out this way towards anyone.
Nice. In light of all that you've been through and on this journey now, if you could go back and speak to that little girl in New York, who didn't get into Bronx science, that young girl, what would you tell her about life?
I would tell her, stop and open your eyes and see God is part of every single thing that comes your way. Good blessings, give him the glory. Things that you think are, you know, terrible, it's only because he has something better. That thing you think you wanted so bad, God said no. He said, no, I got something better. That's not for you. But you're gonna be okay. Like, have faith, you know, and not to have so much, so many worries. Before I knew God, like, I would be a control freak thinking I could actually control things. But now I know that's foolish, you cannot. I mean, we are in control of nothing. He is sovereign. He is in control. So if I had known that earlier in my life, whether, you know, when I was 8 years old or 28 years old, I would have had less stress in my life, less worrying.
You probably know. Enjoyed some things a little bit more.
Yes, less fear, more faith. Now I've traded in my fear for my faith.
Amen. Amen.
You can't have fear when you have faith.
Mm. Love it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoyed that.
Thank so
you.
Much.
Julie Chen Moonves' new audiobook, But First God, is available wherever you get your listening material. She also has a clothing line. And of course, you can catch her this summer when Big Brother returns to CBS. I want to thank you so much for making Conversations from Studio 5 your weekly destination for uplifting interviews in the world of lifestyle and entertainment with a sharp focus on faith. Hope you'll join us again right here next week for a conversation with inspirational recording artist Sherwin Gardner. For more information on the show, you can check us out on our Facebook page. You can also find us on Instagram by searching Studio 5. We'll see you next week right back here on the podcast.